Blog Talk Radio.
And thank you for joining us. This is another Sunday show, and I want to welcome back who we've missed for over a month, who's getting better every day, our own Jack Jodell of Saturday Afternoon Post. Glad
welcome
you're
back,
with
Jack.
Us.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've missed you.
It's good to be back, and we'll keep battling these injustices wherever they pop up, and they will pop up under this Trump misadministration. So good to be back.
This is no administration.
This is a profiteering.
I was going to say, it is so screwed up that even the EU leaders, this past meeting over at NATO, were making fun of him. Basically, he was the geeky kid on the block. I was telling a friend, I said, yeah, the Secret Service has to be really watchful to make sure somebody doesn't put a kick me sign on his back while he's not looking. That's how much of a nerd and how much of a joke he is to our NATO allies.
He doesn't pay attention. He's ignorant as hell. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to know. He's the most ignorant bastard that was ever elected to the presidency. The worst by far.
You know, the thing is that, yeah, they laugh because it's like, you know, that nervous laughter you get when things are going horribly wrong and you say this can't be real. I think that's the kind of laughter these leaders are looking at, because we're the United States of America, and we are the largest military power on the planet. And there's a crazy motherfucker in the Oval Office carrying the football around. Think they aren't weirded out?
Merkel must be beside
herself.
We're supposed to be the leader of the free world, the so-called free world, and we're not providing much leadership whatsoever.
Actually, we're going
backwards instead of forwards. They're sideways. It's no way to go.
It's a humiliating joke.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah. We had damn well better vote him out enormously next year. That's got to happen.
This shit can't continue. This Democratic primary has become as insane as freaking Republican show. You've got kingmakers with Steyer and Bloomberg trying to buy the presidency. A damn good candidate, Kamala Harris, dropped out because of
money. What a shame.
And that's a shame because her voice was important. I'm a progressive. I will not be voting for a centrist at all, not in the primary. Yeah. And if Joe Biden gets the nomination, I think I might be on vacation the month of the general. I'm not shitting you. I'm so disgusted.
Well,
we could do far better.
But the thing is, if there's any time we have to pull together for unity, might not like the candidate on the Democratic side, but we got to get all the Republicans out of office. I'm talking Moscow Mitch. I'm talking about Putin's little bitch, Trump.
Wait a minute. This is the problem. All these white spinners on every damn network are talking about how it's got to be the general right now and we're in a primary. And that angers me more every day because they are marginalizing, first of all, the women. Poor Klobuchar. She's a centrist, and I don't care for a bit. But the point is that she is not getting the voice that she needs. I don't care if they give voice to Tulsi Gabbard. I really don't.
I don't either.
It's gotten so insane that it's like I feel almost every morning like I did the day I woke up and found out he had won the election. And that is horrible.
Gwen, I know you called me that night, but I could not answer the phone because I had totally shut down. I could not believe it. I could not cope with it.
Yeah. Elizabeth Warren has by far the best plank and the best thought-out plank, and they're all characterizing her as some kind of wild-eyed radical, which is very disturbing, and it's untrue. Her plank makes a lot of sense, really, and it's fair. It's common sense Americana, and they'd better get used to the idea that America is going left, not right.
Well, here's the other point, too, Jack. There's a consensus that's been done without using the metrics of the friggin' boomer generation of who's been registering to vote. There's been an upswing in registration as it gets closer to the primary.
That's great, and they're younger people doing it.
Yeah, it's 70% of them are millennials and younger. And
good.
Do you think they're looking for economic justice? Do you think they want their college bills paid off? Do you think they want Medicare for all? Do you think maybe they're thinking about a Green New Deal? Do you think they think green industry might revamp this country? Do you think they want to get the profiteers out of politics completely?
Absolutely.
And let's not go to the gun show.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm with them 100%. You know that, and I always have been.
Yeah.
And I'm no longer a green chicken myself. I'm getting pretty old up here, so we all are, and we're not getting any younger.
Yeah,
and we've got to stay progressive. It's the only way to go. It's the fairest way to go for everybody except the billionaires, and they take care of themselves quite nicely, fine, you know. So let them have their play. We're going to have our say here in the matter, and that's it, period.
Someone like Biden. Biden is allowing the petroleum industry not only to purchase his, you know, obedience, but to, you know, outwardly speak about fracking. And, I mean, when you've got television commentators sticking it into people's heads that the constituency is happy to see Biden getting nasty with a voter over the voter saying, how come you let your son go over there and sit in, you know, that kind of
that nonsense. They just want spectacle. That's all they want to cover is spectacle.
Yeah, if it bleeds, it leads. I was in the business.
It's insane.
Yeah.
What the media did to us in the last election was unforgivable, and they're beginning it again. They're marginalizing women. Cory Booker, I mean, he's got a voice, and Julian Castro. No, you know, the next debate, no people of color, it's all white.
None, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And the last woman of color, Kamala Harris, is bowed out now, and that's a real shame. She would have been a tremendously good candidate, in my opinion. You know, I was favoring her quite a bit. Warren, when they try to portray her as some kind of nut job, it's not going to stick. It's not true, and people are going to see through that shit because it is bullshit.
What's really shocking me is an intelligent young man like Pete Buttigieg, right? I think, you know, he's intelligent, all that. But he's gay. And, you know, that community, my community, is out there saying, hey, wait a minute. You're compromising and saying that people should get along with Chick-fil-A? Not only that, but now he's got the backing of, and he's doing photo ops with the Salvation Army, which is notoriously anti-gay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that is political hypocrisy. I'm depressed.
There are some alliances that are unraveling here that are not good, and there are other ones that need replacing.
He's taking big money. He's taking big money. He's
exactly. That's a bad thing too. But you know,
Sanders and Warren aren't.
Like I mentioned quite a while back when I was on, before I had this stroke, I think it's very imperative that we avoid, we invoke the 11th commandment that Reagan used so effectively to keeping Republicans in line. I think the Democrats and the leftists have to congeal. Regardless of how much they're holding their noses, they've got to congeal on the anti-Trump candidate and defeat Trump at all costs and remove as many of these conservative, compliant Republicans as possible from the Congress of the United States, or this country is doomed. No doubt about it.
Can I not be screaming about this, but just go back to what I said about marginalizing other candidates with this kind of talk.
Right.
And also the fact that big money is going to rule the media. It's pretty clear.
Oh, it's perverse. It always has and it always will, and we've got to minimize its influence.
And listening to the other thing I wanted to bring up was the 2018 election and who drove it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There are all those Democrats in the House because of women and younger voters.
And minorities.
Right.
And minorities, yeah. too. Not just the white stalwarts, you know.
Well, women of color, many women. And that's who the black constituency truly is
right.
women of color.
Right.
And I listened this morning. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I listened to one of the Democrat, you know, DNC machine parts as a woman of color, the mayor of Atlanta, talking up Joe Biden and beat Trump at all costs and completely marginalizing her own, you know, her own ethnicity. And ethnic candidates that have better messages. I mean, Biden is out there talking. He's talking crap, Jack. I mean, he's all about compromise. He's all
about.
Well,
it's very clear. I think that's a political move on his part, Gwen. I really do. I don't really believe that he really believes that it's good to leave behind all these great progressive. Entities that made Barack Obama president. You know, he's smarter than that politically, although he is, you know, he's getting too old, and so is Bernie Sanders. I hate to say it, but it is true.
Yeah.
We've got to pass on the torch to a younger generation that is more progressive and more with it and not so reliant on old alliances and stuff like that. We've got to brave new ground here.
Well, I tell you, my sister posted a little piece on Facebook, and it was a nativity scene from the Southwest somebody had put up, and Jesus and Joseph and Mary and all the people.
They're all Latinos?
They're all, you know, in the manger scene, but there's cages around all of them.
But they're all in cages, separate cages.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And Trump dealers are still being run into court, supposedly representing themselves for their, you know, coming into this country illegally.
Yeah.
There's no adult supervision. There's no adult mentor. A three-year-old is going in, and a judge is ruling on them coming into this country illegally.
That's insane.
That's the kind of shit.
As if the three-year-old had any conscious identity about what he was doing, he or she was doing. Insane.
Yeah. This is this administration's cruelty. This is concentration camp Nazism.
Absolutely.
You know,
and I don't care how anybody would say, everything's a Nazi. No, this is Nazism.
This is concentration camp material.
This is exactly what Wayne said about this administration, about Republican cruelty. That's exactly what Joy Reid said today on her show. And she's one of the few people... I listen to Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow, and I don't do it every night because my blood pressure is not good anymore because of all this stuff. So I got to back off. But I read, and I get upset.
Right.
it's just remarkable the insanity, how things are. It's upside down world out there. The EPA every day is doing something more fantastically antithesis of what it was established for under Trump policies. And now all he can talk about is basically how many times you're flushing. The guy is losing his marbles. And I think that the toilet on the brain has something to do with a metaphor for the moment he's in, to be honest with you.
Well, we've got to flush one goofball out of the White House forever. And all his adherents.
I read that. You know, Americans have to flush the toilet 10, 15 times a day. What in the hell is he talking about? I have no tangibility of what the man is trying to, the point he's trying to put forth. Can someone explain that to me?
I wouldn't even bother. I don't think
it defies logic to even discuss this shit, you know.
It's not even worth, yeah, and it's what it's about is shit rolls downhill. But
yeah.
the thing is that, you know, 6% of the vote has been attributed for Trump to the Facebook ads that were run by Russians for him.
Yep.
And, the,
yeah.
And Facebook is filled with these misleading Trump campaign ads that are anti-impeachment and stuff. I mean, they don't come up on my feed too often, but somebody will repost something to say, can you believe this crap?
Yeah.
And
well, they're
like,
out there, and that's a bad thing.
Well, and the thing is he's had Mark Zuckerberg at the White House, and you know damn well he's trying to get Mark Zuckerberg, or having Mark Zuckerberg, right? Look, things would work well for you if you'd come on my board and become loyal to me and make things look good for me on Facebook. You know damn well Trump has done that. I mean, hell, he's trying to bribe the Ukraine or blackmail the Ukraine, right, into putting together an investigation into any of his political rivals. In this case here, the latest that came out was for Biden. But you know, he's doing the same thing with Mark Zuckerberg and anybody, the CEO of Amazon, anything like that.
Yep.
This is the kind of shit. And the thing is these fuckers, excuse me, will fold because of their almighty dollar. They have lost all moral issues.
Yeah, it's money is basically, we're going to find either within a couple of years or the next generation, it'll come out that money was behind the complete holistic transformation that's gone on in the last 20 years. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I was pretty
I'll say 30. I'll say since Reagan.
Well, actually, since Ike left town. But I tell you, I was pretty upset with Obama for how he was responding to natural disasters and how he was trying to run compromises and work bipartisan so often. Of course, he had it up against it with McConnell in the Senate. I know that.
That guy is pathetic.
But,
he's got to go down.
It was horrible. But you know, he remained a statesman, and he did all this compromising, and he allowed Wall Street to walk right back into the position it was in after Warren had warned him that if he didn't make certain moves, this was what was going to happen. And
right.
I mean, you know, I think that Obama was a wonderful statesman, and
right.
I'm so glad I hope to, you know, campaign for him his first time out. I had a great deal of faith in him. I think his
right.
wife is the ruler of the world, but I wouldn't
yeah.
vote for Obama now. I wouldn't. I would vote for Sanders over Obama if it was running that way again.
Right.
I would, as I'm voting for Warren, believe me, I don't have much faith in Sanders as the politician in the White House. But his policies are correct. They really are.
Yeah,
they are. Absolutely.
They have
and they're
been.
Fair. They're fair. They're for the average working person, which is what the Democratic Party used to stand by. And now they've
yeah.
abandoned them in favor of labor unions and big corporations. And they've been perverted really since the days of Bill Clinton. Clinton let in all kinds of screwballs into the Democratic ranks, and we haven't
yeah.
recovered from that yet. We're working at it, but we've got to do a better job.
Well, the DNC is, they've screwed it up again.
Well, it's an elitist group.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a lot of delegates out there, and they can change that. They can vote in somebody else instead of that Hanyak that's running it. What's his name, the Latino guy? Perez.
Tom Perez, yeah.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing Debbie Wasserman Schultz show up on CNN commentating again. And I'm like, oh, dear gosh. Dear gosh.
Yeah, well.
You know, you don't see people like that on Chris Hayes. You don't see him on Joy Reid unless Joy has a bone to pick with him, you know?
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
You don't, and
you know,
and you
for by and large, you see good reporters featured on David Williams' show, The 11th Hour. You see, and on what's his name? The guy right after Rachel Maddow.
Lawrence O'Donnell.
Lawrence O'Donnell, yeah. You see the likes of that young Bertrand girl. She's very smart, very articulate, and she's not even 30 years old yet. She knows her game. And
yeah.
And another one is that wonderful Washington Post reporter. Her name escapes me now. She's good though, boy. She's awesome. I've written about her in my column years ago, you know, over the years. She's outstanding and very, very good. And her name's on the tip of my tongue. But, you know, you don't see too many. You see those people on MSNBC mainly, and once in a great while on CNN. But by and large, you'll never see them on Fox News unless they're being ridiculed or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the truth is that who watches Fox News?
Well, you know what? It's the number one news station on cable. I hate to disagree with you, Gwen, because I never watch it. I think it's terrible. But it's terrible that it's the number one watched station on cable, period, for news.
It just goes to show how much people, they're degrading the working middle class.
Exactly.
They're looking for a scapegoat, and they're finding it on Fox News, because Fox News will point out who to hate for their problems.
Yeah, they're slapping their face, and the people are coming back for more.
Pointing at the gypsies and the Jews, that this is the reason why, you know, you're not doing as well as you were. This is why your children aren't going to have as good of a life as you did, because of these people. That's Fox News.
Well, Fox News, I just looked it up on the net. They are still pulling. They're pulling less than they were. They're pulling about 1.5 million viewers a day. Whereas MSNBC is pulling, you know, close to 1.2 or 1 million viewers a day.
Great, yeah.
And CNN is anywhere from 900 to 1 million. Now, I used to think CNN had it pretty well because they were the origin.
They did in the old days.
Right.
They did. You're right. 25 years ago, that was very true.
But the truth is that who wants to listen to a log cabin weenie like, you know, AC360? He belongs in the field where he does actually good reporting. But he's just an idiot sitting at
Anderson Cooper,
asking stupid questions and baiting people to get into fights with one another on the panel. I mean, it's terrible.
It's insane.
I will switch over there occasionally, but because they do happen to get live news breaking quicker than any other news network.
Yeah, they do.
Network.
Yeah.
And that's money. That's money talking, because you know that's how it goes. You pay for the news.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's just – so tomorrow begins another hearing on the impeachment. And I watched – last week, the beginning, I couldn't. I have to turn it off when the Republicans start in, or I get really upset.
Yeah, Jim Jordan, he's a little pissant, isn't he? Disgusting.
He's disgusting.
Absolutely disgusting.
Let's talk about Jim Jordan, if you will. Of course, as you know, I spent 6 years in Ohio, and have just recently come back home to Maryland. He had a lot to do with the wrestlers of Ohio State University.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's a wrestling coach,
and the young men are coming out saying, hey, this physician was butt-fucking me. He was grabbing my dick and stuff. Jordan didn't do a damn thing about it.
He didn't do a damn thing about it. He let all kinds of shit go by. He's a two-faced son of a bitch.
He's your typical Republican.
Yes, there you
exactly.
go. Hypocritical as hell.
Well, and speaking of typical Republicans, which have really – taken over, I mean, they have really taken over Ohio, really to an extreme detrimental to the state.
Yeah.
They're looking at passing a law that requires a doctor to perform, I'm doing air quotes here, the operation that if a woman has a tubular pregnancy, that they take it out and plant it in her womb. There is no operation that can do this. There is nothing that is allow this.
That's
but
their anti-abortion zeal.
Yes, that anti-abortion zeal that's now running rampant in Ohio.
That's insane.
And that's the kind of shit that they're trying to pass. that is not based on science, is not based on medical reality.
Right.
But they're going to mandate a doctor who will be liable and, you know, and for crimes for not performing an operation that does not exist.
Well, I'll be honest with you, and I've said this before, too. I am no fan of abortion. I think it's
I agree,
coward's way out. But in some cases, it is understandable because of economics, because of detrimental effects it will have on women to carry the child, not to mention that the health benefits of getting rid of the dangerously bad for the health fetus,
yeah.
All that sort of thing. There are rare instances where it is a good thing, probably a good thing to do. I don't like it by and large. I think it's a coward's way out. Just to have an abortion just to get it out of my system, I don't like that idea. I think it's cowardice.
Well, Jack, I'm going to give you a true story that I know firsthand. Well, not myself personally,
nice
but within the family.
Talking about women's bodies. Always
Wait a minute. Yeah, well, I understand. But you'll understand this one. I know a couple. Both of them very professional, right? She was a school teacher. He's an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, he's a dual engineer, mechanical and electrical. They got married later in life. She was in her 30s. And they wanted to have a child,
mm-hmm.
start a family. Well, her folic acid was not adequate, and henceforth the fetus at 7 months, I think they found
bad.
It, had no brain. All it had was the medulla oblongata.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
at the time, now, you know, you can imagine the distraught that these parents, future parents, were having.
Absolutely.
You know, knowing that she's carrying a child inside. That's basically brain dead. It has no brain.
Right.
In Ohio, they would make you force you, and they've just passed this law, for her to bear that child.
Well,
this couple
that's
did,
insanity.
It was still legal at the time, and the medical decision was, well, you know, if we go ahead and do this, and I'm doing air quotes here, the late-term abortion, the partial birth abortion, right, which is the easiest physically on the mother, and, you know, get yourself healed up, and you can try again. That way we'll make sure, you know, we're jacking you up of all the folic acid that you need.
Yeah.
Well, they did that. They gave the, you know, amount of time for her body to heal, and they have a healthy baby boy. Well, in the W administration and all those zeals of like, what was that nut job governor in Alaska?
Sarah Palin?
Sarah Palin, right? You know, it's all this,
an idiot.
You know, all that kind of rhetoric and shit. You know, they outlawed that partial birth abortion. Now, mind you, that was just a medical procedure. That did not outlaw abortion in that time period.
Mm-hmm.
The second choice of that kind of an operation is they go up and they actually disassemble the child in the womb and take out the parts.
Oh, that's ghastly.
So, right. Well, see, and you want to talk about cruelty? That's cruelty, as far as I'm concerned. So, instead of what was safer for the mother and a true medical reasoning of how that procedure would be done was outlawed and noted as being criminal to do it today. So now, if you have the same scenario that I just spoke about, then they would take in and basically just tear the child, the fetus apart in the woman's womb and remove them.
That's just terrible. Yeah.
Jack, I think it'd be smart to switch the subject, but
I
wanted you to know I looked up on the net the ratings for this last
quarter.
And among adults 18 to 49 and 25 to 54, the highest rated news was MSNBC.
Boy, that's great. That's really
good. It doesn't mean that they had the most viewers, though. Fox had a couple of 100,000 more viewers, but they're all old farts.
Yeah, right. Some of those old farts won't be voting in another few years, and the younger ones will. And they'll be better educated, they'll be more educated, and they'll be better informed as a result of their choice of viewership by not watching Fox News than the old ones that are watching Fox News now. So I guess that's a good news element there, Gwen. That's great to know.
MSNBC is number two always. Sometimes they do skip ahead of Fox also. But
certain shows do, yeah. Rachel Maddow, as I know.
Yeah, often. But the thing of it is that not all boomers or people over 60 or 55 are non-progressive. Many progressive.
Yeah.
And
they just get buried in the noise.
Yeah. The metrics that they're using for a lot of these polls are out of date. I mean, they are still using landline numbers. And they're using focus groups. They're using focus groups of 500 people. Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I dare anybody try to get me on a landline. It doesn't exist. I gave that up years ago.
Well, many years ago, I worked briefly part-time for a market research company. And I know a little bit about how they canvass stuff. And there's a vast room for improvement everywhere you look. So at any rate, they could certainly be doing a better job, and I'm sure they're fine-tuning their tools as they go. So,
well, a lot of young people also, and you imagine that MSNBC is number two, and the other part about that is that it's number one among all of these young adults. I mean, 1849,
that's pretty
good. But a lot of young people look for their news on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know about the characteristics of YouTube because I don't follow it that much. But I think there's a fair amount of progressivism breaking through there, isn't there?
Yeah, no. I'm talking about shows like the Freedom Channel and Democracy Now. All of these that are put up, and Young Turks still get, you know, some people watching. And there's a lot of news shows that have come up that are not just progressive, but they're out and out, you know, anti-American almost. They're very, I mean.
And some of that's with Russian backing, let's face it.
Yeah, a lot of kids will watch RT. The thing is that, I mean, I had dinner with Rick Spezak this week, and I said, you know, Rick, I think if I were a freshman right now, I'd be Black Brigade. I'm a progressive, but for me, it's always been about being a liberal Democrat. And for years, I was the only member of the family. Hell, my sister was a Republican for many years. Well, she did that because she voted the way she thought Mom was voting.
But oh, exactly, yeah.
Until she had a child and started paying attention to the news, and then she became a flaming liberal Democrat.
Good for her.
she nearly busted veins screaming at Bush, but... I mean, for my sister to say, we were having a quiet Thanksgiving here at home, and Debbie said something about, you know, I'd rather deal with George Bush. And when I heard that, I thought, oh, my God, it is insane.
You know, it is really turned it on its head, hasn't it? Insane that we would even think of dealing with George Bush
rather than
the current president. But, you know, there
more
is truth
criminal.
To that.
Very well.
Yeah.
I'll remind everybody, and you can find it on my blog site, The Minds and Times of
F. Wayne Johnson. Yep.
When I had my hour-long conversation with the former Vice President Jack Kemp and told him, welcoming in this extreme reactionary fanatical aspects into the Republican Party, giving them a voice, giving them validity, that the Republican Party will come to regret it because it's going to be very detrimental for the health of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And my final statement in that article is, as a matter of fact, it's called, for those listening and want to look it up, it's called
Told You So, Jack Kemp. And my final statement was, that was just it. Jack,
well,
I told you so.
The attitude
the
that...
Your...
Go ahead.
Now, I was wondering what the name of your first blog was, Wayne.
Engineer of Knowledge.
Engineer of Knowledge.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember that.
There was a lot of good writing on that, too.
Yeah.
Well, regarding
the
Jack
fact,
Kemp...
That's where Jack and I first got the... introduced to each
yes,
other.
Yes, that's
was,
right. Yeah.
His Saturday afternoon post to my engineer knowledge.
Yeah.
I remember. That's ancient history, isn't it, Jack?
The Jack Kemp situation, he didn't know it at the time, and neither did you or anybody, but that attitude of just let them be, they're going to help the party and all that stuff, whatever was expressed. You know, it turned out to be the monster that's eaten the party. It absolutely destroyed the Republican Party.
His exact words were, "Well, it's a good demographics to get motivated and whipped up at election time." This is the way he's saying it.
And,
whipped up when it comes to election time. You know, well, it's time to whip up the nut jobs.
It became malignant and then very bad.
Right.
Know,
yeah.
I,
that's right. That's
know.
The way Carl Rove and all them. They knew they were whipping up the nut jobs.
Yep.
The religious fanatics.
Religious fanatics, dudes, we're so way beyond that. We're out and out. They're working actively and openly with Russia for profiteering purposes.
Yep, exactly.
As long as they make
money, they don't give a damn what happens to the rest of the world. Piss on everybody else.
They seem to think that as long as they do it out in the open, they're going to get away with all of this.
Yeah. Well, they got us here to call them out on the carpet.
I was going to say, it's blatant treasonism, but at least it's blatant.
Yeah,
I agree
with you. It is treason. It is absolutely. I have a friend who was elected mayor of a town in very red Florida, upstate. We went to prep school together many years ago. And she's quite a gal. She's a nice gal. I like her very much. Didn't know her that well in school. We didn't hang in the same crowds, but we knew each other. And she was elected mayor as a Republican. She's been a Republican. But she's just gobsmacked by what's going on. Just gobsmacked.
Yeah.
And, and
she
you
should
know,
be.
It's like, what do you do? If your party
well, the moderate Republicans have to have a resurgence and retake control of their own party. It's been hijacked by a bunch of crazies.
Yeah. So, look, I'm going to give you a quote. It's one of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson.
Yep.
And his quote was, "A merchant has no loyalty to any country other than the current ground he is standing on, where he is making his profit."
Exactly.
Quote.
Boy, how incredible! What a great quote that was, Wayne. And that's what's really happening in the world today.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. It never changes.
You know,
our founding fathers had great foresight.
Yes.
Well, the second section of the Constitution is that Congress shall form a House of Representatives and choose their Speaker, and have sole power of impeachment.
Yep, that's right.
Sole power. And in their third article, their third section, in the third section, the last thing said is judgment in the case of impeachment would include indictment if it was necessary.
Yep.
Proven out. But that it would be the Senate that would
be the determiner.
Would hold the trial. Yeah, and they're trying
the only bad thing about that part of the Constitution. The only bad thing is that they put forth the notion of high crimes and misdemeanors, and they never ever completely
spelled it out.
Detailed what those high crimes and misdemeanors were supposed to be.
It's open to interpretation.
That's too bad. It should be more cut and dried.
Well, you know, the Democrats, what Bloomberg's going around saying to fluff his numbers is that without impeachment, Trump may try to rig the election. That's big news this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, he's trying to. Hey, when General Kelly left as chief of staff,
right?
His and he spoke about it later on. He told Trump, says, "You keep going down this path here, this lunacy that you're doing, your things that you're doing, you are going to get yourself impeached." He
yep.
warned Trump that he was doing illegal activities, and when Trump kept on moving forward, and General Kelly said, "So he was the dumbest person I have ever worked with or worked for."
Yeah, well, Trump doesn't listen to anybody.
He got his
That's
ass
his biggest
out of there
downfall.
Because he wasn't going to become guilty of association
yeah.
with Trump. He knew
Good
Trump
for him.
Was
Good
doing
for him.
Criminal acts.
Yeah.
And finally, his high moral, he had more morals that finally kicked in.
Yep.
That said, "I'm getting the F out of here."
And Trump has absolutely no scruples whatsoever, and he is so damn ignorant, he ignores more than he takes in. I don't know how the guy can even breathe. How the hell do you
well,
breathe? How do you even
life,
stay alive being
whole,
that dumb?
His whole life has not had to be answerable to any rules and regulations.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
Me, all the time with Trump.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Gwen.
Yeah,
go ahead, Gwen.
We have a caller, and I'm going to open up the mic. Go ahead, caller, 918 area code.
Hello.
Yes, is this the support for the 15 flushes group?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct.
We're right,
that's
right,
right.
On
16
target.
Plus.
And
I want 25.
Hill, that's us.
And I want 25 gallons for every flush, too.
Because I'm really dropping some logs, and I want to get my.
That's right. Well, you've called the right place, caller.
Good.
Send them right up to the White House.
Where do I sign up?
The sewer line said straight from the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Jesus, David. It's so
David, good to hear from you.
Is that you, Jack?
Yeah,
well,
I'm back,
Jack.
Man.
Hey, welcome back, Jack.
I had a little stroke there, and it's side-tailed me for a little bit there, but I'm roaring back and with a passion now. So
it's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, thank you, my friend. Yep, great to hear from you again too.
That
was a
my...
great insinuation there. I laughed so hard. That was great.
Well, you know, it's good to know that we have a president that's keeping track of the important issues of the day.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord.
It's insane. What was it you said and today in the room? You posted something, and I went, "Oh yeah, that nutshell's on the beach." Yeah, you had posted about the UPS employee that was.
Oh yeah, you know, the more I read about it, I just can't believe that. It is so out there that you would have. Just all these cops just blazing away on a UPS truck when the driver is still in there.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
And all the drivers that were situated closely around that truck, it was insane. And the fact that, you know, I don't know if you guys had this going on, but I can remember when like Mark and Mindy was on television?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody go down the tavern to watch it together?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of places that were up in my college town and stuff, they were doing that, even down here. Well, I found out that there is a young crowd, the same young crowd as we were, in the bars, you know, and their regular places to meet up. And all they're talking about is what's wrong. It's like a lefty bazaar out there. There is all this talk at bar rails right now. And it's strange that there isn't more trouble, arising. But politics are the main topic of conversation at the bar rails these days.
Well, that's a good thing. And let's hope that some good resolutions come from that. And some good action comes from that. you know, we can do a hell of a lot worse.
it's good, but you gotta admit there's a lot of tension in the air.
Oh yeah.
And there's
a lot
of tribalism. And,
oh yeah.
Yes, tribalism, exactly.
Yeah. And it's a scary time. It's a scary time.
Well, you know, as David was saying earlier, you know, the last 6 years that I spent out in Columbus is a beautiful town with Ohio State University, all the professors, you know, and I'm doing air quotes here, what the Republicans have called the intelligentsia. They're very educated. They're very enlightened. And it's a very progressive town. You don't have to go out more than 10, maybe 20 miles, and you're getting into cousin humping, inbreeding Klansmen.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so delicately put.
You like that?
You know, I mean, being here in Okiestan, I certainly see a lot of that. But, you know, I see a lot of people, too, on the other side, that are genuinely concerned about what's happening
in
government. And you know, it's especially among the young people. You know, I just read something today that there's a record amount of young people that are signing up to register to vote.
Thank God.
Yeah. 70% of the new registrations right now, and this is from a census-taking marketing company in California that's been doing it nationally for the last year. 70%.
Yeah, yeah.
Millennials on down.
I have a lot of hope for that. I have a lot of hope. It's the older generation. They certainly have their hate and prejudices that I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah.
But this is the you know, every generation has its moment where they are tested and you know their steel is tempered. I think maybe this may be the moment for the young people that they're going to save the country.
Yes.
We can
I
only
agree.
Hope, David. We can only hope.
I agree with you.
Aid them
and
encourage
them. I support
them. I do too.
I support my nephew and his gal. She's a medical student and he's a firefighter. And they're not yet 30. And their contemporaries pretty much are the same as they are. Gabby is. She's like, my nephew has my mother's sense of humor. If you say it's blue, he'll say, no, it's white. you know, that sort of pithy kind of dry thing and that goes over like a lead balloon. But Gabby will turn to him on a political question when he says, no, I voted for Trump. And she'll say, no, you didn't, and no, you won't.
No, you won't.
It's like,
I think it's properly pronounced. Oh no, you didn't.
No, you didn't. Okay. With the head shake too.
Well, it's very, very encouraging that they're speaking up and they're taking a stand, and they're doing so, you know, on the correct side of things. Let's put it that way. And that's something to be encouraged and certainly plugged as much as possible because it's a very good, healthy sign for our democracy.
Well, you know, I gotta say that 3 out of 5 protests or groups I joined when I was freshman in college or out there even after college that I signed up with, 3 out of 5 happened at a bar rail, guys. Really.
Yeah.
People talking and saying, hey, man, let's go. Or some social situation where people have come together with not a thought of politics, but that's what was going down.
Right.
That's how it starts. You get people together and, you know, they start saying, well, this is not right. And, you know, it's time to do something about this.
And that's how change happens. And we, God knows, we need change. So let's encourage that. Let's foster it. And let's see that prevail big time, especially regarding Trump and all these complacent Republicans.
Right.
Well, it does need to be grassroots because look what they're doing. Even the only place you're going to see any demarginalization of women candidates or progressives is places like Democracy Now, Freedom TV,
And free speech TV.
Free speech TV. And then you do have Chris Hayes, who's pretty good. And I mean, it is an education to listen to Maddow. And that book of hers, Blowout, is pretty awesome. I've only read snippets of it, but it's like, oh my God. I knew this was possible, but this is incredible. I do recommend it. I'm hoping Santa will bring me a copy, but the thing is that kids are out there, but here's the other side of that too. And I don't know, David, if you've seen it around you up there, but there are kids out there that are in right here in Port St. Lucie. That mostly young boys, but they call them Trump boys.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, we got that. Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever there's an issue like the impeachment hearings going on or something, Debbie came home last week and she said, "There are Trump boys on the middle of the highway again." And I'm like, "Whoa."
Good God.
But Port St. Lucie, a red county, did go for Hillary, so there's that.
You know, and the thing is, there's always been the 10% hate in this country. 10%, 15%, 20%.
Yeah.
But you know, it's they've come out from underneath their rocks, because of Trump. And the thing
I go back to Jack Kemp when they were in the the W. Bush 2005 era under Trump and Cheney, when the movement of the Tea Party came up and the Republican Party. We were just thinking about, I had an hour-long one-on-one conversation in the morning, Jack Kemp, about welcoming this demographics into the Republican Party, giving them a validifying voice, giving them a platform to speak from under a legitimate political party, that they would come to regret it. And that, so we spoke. It started back with the Republican Party, and I'm doing air quotes here, as Jack Kemp said, they were good demographics to get whip up and get motivated election time. Pause. You know, when it's time to whip up the nut jobs. That was a quote.
Well, hate's a powerful tool for gathering up crowds.
A big motivator, you bet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a long history in the world of hate motivating, you don't have to look very far for that.
The young church,
Right.
It's really I had a conversation with my cousin Bob here today, who's, you know, pretty much a Florida cracker, but he's voting Democrat. he said, "Well, you know, you can't tell me she doesn't hate him." And I said, wait a minute. Because I understand this. I get angry. I get livid. But I harm none. I don't wish anyone any physical harm or condemnation for life. Nothing like that. And it's a spiritual thing. And that's how I walk. And I can understand, having had the same classic parochial school education as Nancy Pelosi, that she can honestly not hate, but still be pretty goddamn pissed and push it through.
She did a magnificent job the other day. I was so proud of her. And I have issues with her at times, but boy, she nailed it that time. That was great.
The thing is, it's a two-party system, and you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of intelligent Republicans out there. I mean, disagree with a lot of stuff, but still, you know, the Eisenhower, the old school Republicans.
Yeah, the moderates.
There's a lot of them out there. And I think right now they're just sort of waiting it out. And I think something will energize them, and they'll say, enough is enough.
Yeah,
you
I hope this clown is going to take the sooner the better.
Well, you know.
Well, you see, it's what's it going to take? You know, I mean, right now there's a lot of the far right Republicans that are enabling this clown.
Yeah.
It's
so
insane.
What's it going to take for that silent group to speak up and say, that's it.
Well, we need Trump to be massively turned back and defeated, and all his compliant enablers who are in the Republican Party right now, if we see a huge popular shift in terms of against them for the 2020 election, that will help us in our cause here.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
if Trump loses, you'll be surprised at how fast they jump ship.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, Trump
God,
who? You know, I Trump was
that,
just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be the new bad boy, you know.
You know,
yeah.
Something that really needs to be said was all the brittleness emotionally over our country right now. Hate, just as knowledge as power and education brings that, or the desire for it, you know, the curiosity of just genuine curiosity that you can't stamp down in most people. Hate is a mental disability. It really
it
is.
Mm-hmm.
When you hate, when you
it
hate,
leads people to be irrational
yourself.
And make bad choices and do bad things.
It does.
Well, it,
yeah.
It just eats you up. It eats you up from the inside.
Right.
It brings on cancer. That's what kills people.
That's right.
It's their fear and their hate. And that's what Republicans have got as their number one and number two punches right now is fear and hate.
Mm-hmm. For a long time.
Well, I mean, to put another angle in there, I blame a lot of religion for it.
All these,
you know, going from public to private schools and all these, you know, we have a lot of it here in Oklahoma. The evangelical, out there, mega churches.
Christians.
Yeah. It's, you know, the American Taliban.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Good point.
Mega churches, they're preaching this stuff. They get funds from it. They say, oh, we got to battle this. You know, the devil's taking over this and the demons are in this. And we need your money and we need your help. And it's a powerful tool for them to get money from that.
It sure is. Absolutely.
People love drama. People love
they do.
Drama.
Yeah.
And fear.
Yeah,
and
they love simple
drama.
Answers. You
yeah,
know,
they
if
do.
They have something going on in their life that's not working, it's very simple to say, you know.
Simple answers for simple minds.
Find a scapegoat and blame that entity right away.
Right out of Mike Nichols. that was that movie, The American President. That was a wonderful movie.
Yeah.
And
it was,
that's exactly what he wrote. I think actually, to tell you the truth, one of the writers besides Kasdan on that was Lawrence O'Donnell. He wrote for West Wing, you know? I don't particularly see him as the flaming progressive, but he does. Larry O'Donnell does bring a lot of stuff up, and he's brought a lot of people into the light that had no other voice too.
Well, he does have a rational way of looking at things, and that I admire in him. And he's no flaming radical liberal by any stretch, but he does put forth a progressive platform on his show, and I salute him for that.
Yeah. Well, there's a thought here that's going around with people, especially people of color who are progressives, you know, intelligent professionals. I know a few in the area.
Right.
who are saying, you know, really, it's the last battle of the Civil War.
Could very well be. Yep. Could very well be.
Gentlemen,
well, I got to get back to my invention I'm working on. It's a Bluetooth enabled auto flusher that you just punch in how many flushes you want in your phone, and you just like start punching on it, and it clicks. So,
good to hear from you,
$1 trillion.
David. Always good to hear from you, David.
Okay,
take care of
yourself, take care,
my friend. Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you beforehand, my friend.
Merry Christmas.
Bless you. Season's greetings.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Being an engineer working both mechanical and electrical engineering, I can definitely appreciate the value added that he's coming up with.
Gentlemen,
we needed that little bit of levity.
Gentlemen, thank you. Jack,
hours almost up.
Jack, will you please? Yeah, we got seconds here. Jack, please, for the
I'm
first time in a while.
I'm still posting at www. JackJodell53.com, which is also known as the Saturday Afternoon Post. And I'm still posting. I had a little hiatus there for a little while, but I'm still on twice a week. So please check it out, the Saturday Afternoon Post, and it'll lead you right
Sign
there.
Sign us off. Sign us off, Jack.
Keep pushing forward, everybody. We've gone backward far enough. We're getting heading into a sludge row here. We've got to get above our head, get our heads above water again.
That's right. Folks, have a
Thank
good
you,
one. Good night,
folks.
All. Jack, Gwen,
Thank
always a pleasure,
listening.
Folks.
We'll see you next Sunday. Nice talking with
yep.
you all. Have a great week, everybody, and keep pushing forward.
Thank you for listening. This has been the Sunday Show on here, Be Monstrous Radio.